Thank you so much for joining us here on Cranford Radio. My name is Bernie Wagenblast. Well, today we're going to be talking about an organization you may not be familiar with because they've just really started to become involved in Union County. The name of the organization is Bridges. I'm joined by the president of Bridges, Rich Uniak, as well as Scott Wallman, who is a board member and a Cranford resident. Scott, Rich, welcome to Cranford Radio.
Thank you so much, Bernie.
Thank you for having us.
Well, as I said, folks might not be familiar with Bridges. I know I wasn't until I found out about it just a week or two ago. Rich, why don't you start off telling me what is Bridges, please?
The question. For the past 35 years, Bridges has really been known as an organization doing street outreach to engage with people who are experiencing homelessness. And initially to provide many of the things that they most urgently need. You know, a life on the street means you're constantly food insecure and you need food. You need hygiene items. You need clothing items. You need sometimes survival gear, and we provide cold weather packs. The origin story has us forming in Summit, but doing most of this work for the first three decades in New York City, where our founders, Jeff and Ginger Warden, were finding, as they walked past, finding people who were clearly living an unsheltered existence. Now, the evolution of that brings us to a place where we're clear that the purpose of that outreach is to reduce the number of people we see out there time after time, right? And that really changes the nature of the work. It isn't simply, here's some food, here's some warm clothes. No quantities of those items will end that person's homelessness. So we're very focused today on, in fact, ending that homelessness with that person, and with is very intentional, as well as preventing imminent homelessness. So Bridges today provides street outreach 7 nights a week in Newark, New Jersey from 3 to 11 p.m. at minimum. And I say that because on code blue nights, for example, when it's dangerously cold, we do extend, as well as on code red when it's dangerously hot. We also are the street outreach provider for all 21 municipalities of Union County. That is a new designation from the Department of Community Affairs at the state of New Jersey. We have a team out Monday through Friday, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 9 to 5, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 3 to 11. In both Newark, Essex, and in Union County, we also provide intensive case management. And that's really where the rubber meets the road. Those are the team members who are able to determine exactly where that person is in their journey to end or prevent their homelessness and start there. Whether it's helping them establish identity documents or enrolling in benefits or finding a job, preventing their eviction, helping them find an apartment that they can leverage a housing voucher with. That is the work that we do in case management. So the outreach is the tip of the spear. The case management is really the intensive work where we're really linked up, walking this journey together. And throughout it all are the data, the qualitative and quantitative data elements of this. And we think about the changes that need to be made in the system because we learn so much about the journeys and the things that haven't worked for folks. So we demand change, we say, along the way, right? Not just for that one person, but for every person who's facing homelessness presently or imminently, and work with the systems meant to help them in order to help them evolve so that we can be a part of creating a system in which experiences of homelessness are rare, brief, and non-recurring.
You talked about the evolution of homelessness and people who are without homes. Some of these issues seem that they're beyond even the ability of governments at times to handle. Housing is at a premium. It's becoming more and more expensive. There's not enough of it. You see about substance abuse that people deal with, and that gets into a lot of things. Mental health is yet another issue that is beyond the ability of any one individual, and like I say, sometimes even governments. How do you deal with these overarching problems and really still stay connected to that individual that you're trying to help in case management?
It's such an important question, Bernie. And when people think about homelessness, they do think about mental illness. They do think about substance abuse. The simple answer is we are person focused, right? Like whether that person has actually formally become a client or they're someone we're trying to connect with to that degree, we are focused on that person and their journey. And our approach is literally bespoke to that person. Right. So that's how we remain very focused on what this person, this household needs in this moment, as well as what the long-term plan is. But as we connect with the systems, it does get more complicated, right? We are a housing first organization, which means we believe that as a human being, you have a right to permanent housing, and we solve for that before we require a person to deal with any kind of substance issue or any kind of behavioral health issue. The data strongly support that because the efficacy of any of those interventions are dramatically improved when a person is in permanent housing. And fortunately, we are operating now in an ecosystem that is of the same mindset. The Department of Community Affairs, and particularly the Office of Homelessness Prevention, prioritizes housing first and prioritizes agencies that adopt housing first principles. So that has really created an ecosystem in which this kind of work and that kind of person-centered approach is the right way to do this work. I mean, it's obviously the dignified way, the decent thing to do for any person or household. But it really is a very fortunate thing that we happen to be doing this at a time in New Jersey where stars have aligned and the systems themselves, for the most part, are really marching to a similar drumbeat.
Scott, I wanted to ask you, you're a board member, you live in Cranford. Rich talked about how Bridges has expanded into Union County just recently. Is this just an urban problem in Union County, say cities like Elizabeth and Plainfield? Or what about Cranford? Is homelessness, is that an issue here in Cranford? And how is it an issue?
Well, I think, we have a real nice town in Cranford, right? And we don't see homeless on the streets in Cranford, but you know, it's really something, especially in today's economy and with all of the challenges in the world today, there's nothing that makes Cranford immune to this. Cranford residents can certainly end up experiencing homelessness. Whether it's some of the things that Rich mentioned about behavioral health and substance abuse or just job loss or family crisis, we're not immune to it. And it's our very close neighbors, whether that's Plainfield or otherwise, that there is a much greater prevalence of homelessness. So certainly important to us.
Scott, tell me a little bit about your involvement with Bridges and how did you become involved in the first place? What drew you to become involved with Bridges?
Yeah, I'm a lawyer and about 8 years ago did a little bit of pro bono volunteer work for Bridges. It was introduced to Rich and I was just really captivated by how much impact Bridges has. A lot of the times I think of nonprofits and you never quite know where your donations are going or what is being accomplished. But with Bridges, I just saw that there was such an impact that was happening. You look at the bigger data about the number of people that homelessness has been prevented or people have been rehoused, the number of people that Bridges engages with on their food and clothing runs, and then the individual stories. There is really nothing as great as hearing about someone that experienced homelessness sometimes for many years and seeing them open the door to their new apartment and Bridges having a hand in that. So, You know, it's been about 8 years that I've been involved with Bridges. I've seen the organization grow and mature and have a greater and greater impact over the years.
Rich, you talked about how when this started decades ago, initially it was handing out food and warm clothing to people who were on the street. How has the issue of homelessness evolved over time from maybe what was being dealt with in the early days of Bridges to what we're seeing today?
Yeah, that's an important issue that you raise, because the causes of homelessness have been evolving. In fact, the latest state data shows that the number two cause of homelessness right now in New Jersey is eviction. You know, and that's been on the rise. And that's kind of, you know, right on the heels of the COVID experience and the moratorium on evictions and, you know, the kind of quagmire that, you know, we all found ourselves in, where landlords, you know, were not receiving rent from some of their tenants who could not be evicted. And maybe it was because their job evaporated overnight. That's really been driving a lot of people into homelessness, which perhaps can also serve to challenge some of the preconceptions of homelessness. And that's a lot of what we deal with, right? You know, the idea of mental illness and substance use disorder are the things that always come up every time we talk about homelessness. Every time I bring it up, somebody asks me, well, what about that, right? And the reality is that at the present time, neither of those two things appears on the list of top causes of homelessness. Yes, they are prevalent in homelessness, especially chronic, unsheltered homelessness, but they didn't cause that person's homelessness. Being asked to leave a shared residence is the number one cause of homelessness in New Jersey. And you think about all the things that can be described in such a manner, right? The breakup of a relationship. If someone loses their apartment, where are they going to go? They're going to go to someone in their support system. How long can that last? How long can you sleep on someone's couch in someone's basement? Certainly not forever. The rising costs of all consumer goods make it more expensive, practically by the month, for you to have that person now in your household. Eventually, things don't last. So whatever, you know, the details were that can be encapsulated as being asked to leave a shared residence, it's that an eviction that today are the number one causes of homelessness in New Jersey. And I would say that the other biggest element of evolution for homelessness in New Jersey, especially, is, and I kind of alluded to it before, is the increased attention and leadership around long-term systemic solutions. We see that from DCA, the Office of Homelessness Prevention, the Office of Eviction Prevention. We see that in Newark. Certainly Mayor Baraka has shown himself to be a leader in the nation. They announced this week on Tuesday a 57.6% reduction in unsheltered homelessness year over year. That is a staggering number that we are grateful to be a part of. And in Union County, where we are more recently such a substantive outreach provider, they too have continued to evolve and will be rolling out a coordinated assessment and coordinated entry program in 2024, designed to make it easier, designed to make it more streamlined for all households, all individuals, to get the supports that they need to prevent and rapidly exit homelessness.
Let me ask you another question. You mentioned shelters, and as a New Jersey resident, we see New York media, so I'm most familiar with some of the issues in New York City. And you hear people who are on the street saying they don't want to go to shelters, that they have safety fears in those places. Mm-hmm. You talk about providing housing, but that's not something that you can snap your fingers and somebody has an apartment. Is that an issue that you're also trying to address in terms of making these temporary shelters that government or nonprofit organizations provide someplace that is more inviting, perhaps?
Yes, absolutely, unequivocally. It is a major barrier to getting someone into an immediate, albeit temporary, safe space when a particular shelter is unsafe, has a terrible reputation for the way it treats people. We've experienced innumerable encounters which really highlighted that sometimes the shelter experience can really be akin to the Stanford prison experiment. It's a problem. And it's part of why I think Bridges stands for demanding change, right? Because when you're out on the streets every single night and you have a person who, if they could go to a shelter, would not be literally trying to find some nook or cranny where they could safely sleep that cold night, and you hear that they won't go to that open shelter bed because they fear for their safety, they fear for their life, we can't stand by and just take that. So we definitely document that. We have to rely on the systems, the government, as you mentioned, to really drive accountability in that space. Certainly we don't have that kind of authority, but we do have a measure of influence. And certainly with the amount of folks that we see and the amount of data to which we contribute, there's a level of credibility there that does help us apply pressure. It's definitely another kind of evolution that we like to be a part of.
Talking a little about the demographics of the people who are living on the streets, one area that is very vulnerable are young people. And in particular, I'm aware that sometimes young people who are LGBTQ+ are kicked out of their homes. They had very stable housing. They had a good situation, but for whatever reason, their families have rejected them. Is that something that's becoming more or less of an issue from your perspective?
More, for sure. Yeah. You know, I can't pretend to understand why we are seeing greater numbers of people who, you know, find themselves on the streets, who identify as LGBTQIA+, other than to say what the anecdotal data show is that more and more it's because they're not accepted at home. And it's definitely and most unfortunately, a trend that we do see increasing, and something that, you know, in the ecosystems in which we operate, there is a very significant focus on.
Scott, in terms of these issues, these are bigger than Bridges. They're bigger than any one organization. Are you working with other organizations in conjunction to try to address some of these issues?
I think where Bridges has been most effective is being a facilitator of government funds and government services. So it starts with building a relationship with people, and those food and clothing runs are our first contact. And that leads to sometimes years long relationships before we can get people to the right place and the right services. But where Bridges is real effective is connecting people through their case managers to available services and available funding. That's where Bridges has seen the most impact.
We're recording this episode in early December of 2023. Tell us how people can support Bridges, whether it's through volunteer work or providing donations.
I'm a donor for Bridges. I would encourage people to donate. I think one thing that I find a lot of comfort in addition to just knowing the impact that Bridges has, is that nearly all of the funds are either going to address client needs directly or to our team that's out on the street and our case managers. So nearly all of those funds are directly having an impact towards reducing and ending homelessness. And we welcome your donations so that we can continue to expand these programs. We also have volunteers. We would invite you to volunteer, join us on a run for delivering food and clothing, help us in packing meals. That's another way that you individually or bring your group and help us pack meals. So there are a lot of ways to volunteer. Certainly the ability to financially support Bridges is welcome. Everything that you contribute is going to have a meaningful impact right away.
Of course, I want to stress that if you look at the show notes for today's episode, you will find a link to Bridges and how you can volunteer or donate through that link. Rich, I know that there currently, again, this is December 2023, a match that's available for donations. Tell me a bit more about that, please.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up. We do have a generous donor right now that has provided a match, a $65,000 match that we kicked off on Giving Tuesday that enables us to have folks up to that first $65,000 from that moment on to have their gift doubled. You know, it's a donor that has been with us for a few years and has kind of, as Scott indicated, really seen the growth and the growth in the impact. You know, we're extremely proud of the trajectory that our impact has been on, and just thrilled that we have this kind of investment to help other donors increase the overall impact of their charitable donations at this time of year.
Well, I want to thank my two guests on this episode of Cranford Radio. I've been speaking with Rich Uniac. He is the president of Bridges, and Scott Waldman from Cranford, who is a board member as well as a volunteer. Scott, Rich, thanks so much for being on Cranford Radio.
Thank you, Bernie.
All righty. Thank you so much.